Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away?
Good evening, good evening, good evening, podcast audience. This is the co-producer, Ken Hodge, from Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, with our premier podcast tonight, The Messenger. Again, The Messenger is a podcast designed to get you in touch with your star player, for lack of a better phrase, to get you in touch with the creator that's inside you. So hopefully we can wake you up and have you understand that much of what you've been searching for is right here in front of you. All you really have to do is learn to apply it, accept it, and appreciate it. So at this time, what I want to do now is I want to present to some, and I want to introduce to others none other than our own Messenger Ron Dyer.
Good evening to all that have taking the time to walk this journey once again. I am truly honored to be with you, hoping that tonight we'll be able to expound just a little bit deeper into the personal relationship that we are having and share just what is going on in each and one of our lives, so that we can begin to see and tell others of our experience. As I've said so many times before, we've got to stop talking about it and be about it, because we are the light. We are the light of the world, and if you can't speak with conviction and explain to people, if you're not a witness, and that's what we have with religion, is the fact that a lot of times people are just talking from a story that they've heard, Not that they haven't had experiences with God, because God is working in and through each and every one of us. It's just that what they're doing is they're taking that experience and they're applying it to God. So what they're saying is it's not the God in me, but it's through my pastor or through my whatever that is causing me to be the way that I am or the things that are going on. It's because of my relationship with my pastor. And I just want us to better understand that that is not the case. The case is God is working in us, but unfortunately, it's subconsciously, and we've got to get to a point where it becomes conscious. And so with that, I'm going to ask, is my co-producer still on?
Always right here, brother.
My brother, can you just take over for 1 minute? I just want to try one other avenue to get my direct connect going.
Why, certainly. Why, certainly. but wait a minute. Before I take over, I just have to check. Did everybody hear that request, First Lady?
Yes, I did right. hear that, brother.
Okay.
Did you hear that, my brother?
I just wanted to make sure, because I've been having a rough day. Yeah,
he has
today.
Spoken, yes. Thank you.
He has spoken, okay. So we talk about living in the knowledge of who you really are. Man, when you live in the knowledge of who you really are, again, I'm just beginning to appreciate that school of thought. But from what I gather, and every day I grow, it is a magnificent place to find this. When you understand that you are have God in you, so therefore where you go, God is already there. The things that you do, God is a part of it. And I do say the things that you do, whether those things be what society deems as good, bad, really doesn't make a difference, because God is with you at all times. And if we know that God is with us, when we really begin to understand that, trust me when I tell you, it'll make you see things different. It'll make a situation that would have got you totally vexed, totally pissed off, totally upset, it will keep you calm as a cucumber, as it were, because you understand.
That's right. I can testify to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because you now understand that I still got a lot of static coming from you, Brother Messenger. Are you back on?
I'm back on now. Can you hear me?
Yes, it sounds good, but I hear a little background feed there. But when you understand that you, in so many words, and I'm going to say this kind of convoluted, but you are a direct representative of the Creator.
That's right.
This is why the Creator is. This is why the Creator is everywhere, because everywhere you go, if there's a life source there, the Creator is there.
That's right.
Yeah, and again, and when you understand that, just like, for example, giving you a metaphor or an assimile, however you want to look at it, when you are a rich person, money don't really affect you like that. And if you'll notice, most really rich people, you don't really know they're rich. They don't drive the $300,000 automobile. I'm talking about the wealthy people, because what I have no need or no desire to prove anything to you. So I can go about life not worrying about that which I have, but I don't have to keep putting it in your face. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It certainly does make sense.
So now when we walk with the God in us, again, I don't have to sit here and get into a negative verbal confrontation with you. If you don't appreciate my view, I can leave and still call you tomorrow. We can have coffee. Because,
that's
again,
right.
I know from where from which I come. I know who I am. I know whose I am. So therefore, the things in life that make me get a little ruffled don't affect me anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I had a conversation today.
Do we still get that noise, my brother?
Yes.
It's bad.
Your voice is clear.
But you got a lot of bad noise?
I just got a lot of white noise in the back. Hold on one second. Okay. Yeah, it's coming from your set. But you can go ahead and talk over it, and I'll try to blend it out. Now it's good. Right now it's good. It's perfect. Whatever you did right now, now it came back. I don't know what you just did about 30 seconds ago, but it was good. But anyway, I had a conversation with a young man today. Are you on the master board also, Brother Messenger?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to go ahead and mute you out, and then you just come in when you want to come in. Is that all right?
Okay. Is it that? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I had a conversation with a young man today, and it's funny because the conversation was he was a outreach program, and you know, I told him, that's nice that you do that, but the outreach program, again, and well, I want to be careful how I say this because I'm not putting a bad light on any outreach. Anytime you go out of your way to help someone else, well, initially, that's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
But I asked him, it is, but I asked him the question. I asked him the question, is your outreach program trying to save people's soul? I mean, what is the point of what it is that you're doing? And again, they want to bring people back to the church. Again, here we go. I want to help you, and then I want to organize you and restrict you in what I do for you. And I told him, I said, listen to me, brother. I'm going to be a little cynical, but if I get to the point where you can't accept what I'm saying, then we'll just stop conversing so we can stay friends. But you are on an outreach program trying to bring people to church. Doing your outreach, do you tell people that God is in them already? Do you tell them that all they have to do is recognize, or all they really have to do is speak better living conditions or different living conditions for them into existence? Is that part of your outreach? And naturally, he looked at me and said, no, it's about, again, it's a bunch of different people from different churches going in the community. Now, again, I said to him that don't be surprised if one Saturday I bring my speakers, my mixer, my laptop, and we podcast right from there, because we're going to start off understanding. We're going to start off understanding that God is the creator, and we all love God. We all understand that God orders our footsteps. That's the premise we're going to do. How about if we just stay right there? How about if we don't drift into your Bible or the Immaculate Conception? Let's come together on one accord that God is in control. And as long as we stay there, we'll be fine.
Amen.
But if you start with the Immaculate Conception, if you start trying to tell people that the way to get to God is through this minister or joining this church, then we'll have a little different type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I won't disrespect you, but I will not hold back when I tell people you don't need to go to church to be saved. You go to church just like we go to the club to meet some people, see some people, and have a different type of time. But that don't get you into heaven.
Right.
And I need you to understand just the fact that you were born gets you into heaven. And it is no more. I can't make it any simpler, but that's what it is. So one Saturday, Yeah, I've been invited to come out with them, but my schedule has been kind of hectic. I'm going to podcast, do a live podcast from there. And again, I want to speak to people, and I want to let them know that there is an alternative. You no longer have to be saddled down with or conform to the religious protocol that somebody made up for you. You don't have to do that anymore. In fact, you never had to do it. Go ahead, sister.
No, I was just you know, getting frustrated thinking, so they're telling me the only way I can receive the word is over there. Why can't I be right here? And
right.
Yes, I do know what you mean.
But you come over here to get it.
Because when you come over here, and I'm sorry if I sound too cynical, because when you come to my church, you bring your money to my offering. It's all about money, and I'm so sorry. Yeah. Because it was sincerely about, if it was sincerely about saving lives or trying to actually move people to God, then I could tell you, I could minister to you right here. While I'm on the radio talking, thousands of people can hear me. You don't need to meet me at an appointed place that I have. What's it? That because of my lack of faith, I bought a building. I have buses. I put expenses in place that I'm expecting you to believe my word and pay these bills for me. That's just what I'm doing.
Right, exactly.
Rather than understand that God has given me the power of communication, He has enlightened me, again, with this podcast, for example. Nobody's got to go anywhere. While you're at work, while you're in your car doing your everyday things, we are ministering to you. You don't have to meet us anywhere. And just for the record, and I hate to say this, but my family, we own a church building. So if we really wanted to try to start a congregation, we already have the edifice to do that in. But that is not what this ministry is about. That's not what this is about. This is about you understanding that while you're sitting there doing whatever it is that you do, you are in constant communication with God. He's talking, because he don't stop. They tell me, they say God is very loquacious. So he's going to keep talking. Now, whether you listen or not, whether you listen or not, that's a different story. But God is going, he's a very talkative God.
Yeah,
he's ordering every footstep of everybody.
Yes.
So again, when we stop and we understand that we have, dynamic. When I say dynamic, I mean dynamic and ever changing. We have that dynamic power infused in us. But I tell you, man, it's when you learn to tap into it. Hold on, because again, everything that you do will be a testimony. Everything that you do.
That is so true, my brother. So true. That is so true what you said, and I want to thank you. I thank you for allowing God to let you bring it, man, because that's just what you were doing. You was bringing it, and as I sit there and I listen to you, it just really boggles my mind because you said it in its simplest form.
That's right.
But people have a hard time understanding it and accepting it because we just believe that we were born in sin. We believe that we are so imperfect. And what gets me is we call ourselves imperfect, but when we call ourselves imperfect, what we're actually saying is God does not have the power that in 2 seconds I'm going to say he has.
Mm.
We are perfect just as we are. We just can't accept it. And just because we went down a street that did not give us the results that we were looking for does not make us bad, does not make us imperfect. because we have the ability to change that street and go to another street. That doesn't make us improper. We're so used to calling it bad. And it's just an experience, because no matter what you look at, as the brother was saying earlier, life is God. So everything that has life is a part of God.
Amen.
So if it's a part of God, how can it be bad? It might not be what we require at that specific moment, but it doesn't make it bad.
Right.
And we'll call it bad in a minute. If it doesn't bring us the unexpected joy that we were hoping to get, we automatically call it bad. And even though what we call bad, it ends up helping us, because the next time we come to that fork in the road, we know that this if we go to the right, what result it was going to give us. So then we don't take that road. So now do we really want to call that bad? Because it was really a learning experience for us.
That's right.
And even if we took that road and that road caused us death, then we still have to ask ourselves, was it bad?
Nope.
It caused us death, but was it bad?
No. Then we were with our Creator.
That's what we. This is what everyone gets up and go to church every Sunday. Everybody pays, making sure they pay their tithes. This is what everybody's doing to make sure that they can quote unquote see Him again. How are you going to see Him again when you're already here, right here for you, and you can't see Him? You can't see Him because you want to believe what everybody else is telling you, that you've got to do so many different things. In one breath, they tell you God is your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your best friend. But then they've got all these different kind of avenues and ways to get to Him. And I've never had to take those avenues to get to my brother. I've never had to take those avenues to get to my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to make sure I gave my best friend 10% of my earnings for him to be my best friend. What kind of friend is that? If I don't give him 10% of what he gave me, he ain't going to be friends with me no more.
All right, my brother. Speak.
But does that make sense for us to believe that?
Not even a little bit.
Not.
But we believe it. But we believe it on a constant basis. And you hear, as the brother was saying so earlier, he say it so simple that even a fool couldn't err with it. But then they will look at him or I as if we are the fool, because we're claiming what it is that God has told us. And He's told each and every one of us, but we won't listen to God. We'll listen to what it is that man has said.
Only because we find that so much easier to digest. And okay. Also, because of habit, and I say this, and I really do mean this, most times if you give somebody a word that God has given you, and man disagrees with it, you'll question yourself. But if you make up a word, if you make up a word and man agrees with you, you know you made that word up before you put it out there. But since they agree with you, you will convince yourself that you just got a godly or pathetic word, man. So again, we cater too much to what people think. And again, it's no accident that we're like that. I speak about it, but at some points we're all like that. What other people think of us sometimes becomes way too important for us, in all honesty. Way too important. I mean, if you don't like me, you'll find me changing my ways, changing my habits in order that you might like me. And I'll tell you. I'm going to say from this is a co-producer. If you don't like me, but I feel good about what it is I'm doing, and what I'm doing is genuine, then I'm sorry. I like the fact that you don't like me. I do. If what I'm doing is genuine, but you take exception to it, then I like the fact that you take exception to it.
That comes with some wisdom. And I'm going to say it. As we get older, we think exactly like you, Brother Hodge.
Yes.
I am on board with that. Because as I've gotten older, it's okay. It's going to be all right. And as the messenger says, all things work together for the good.
You go first, lady. You go ahead with
That's
that.
Right.
She said, hold on. This commercial brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Hey, but I've got to say, my brother, what she just said is true.
It.
I need to let her know is that's so true for her, because she does walk with that extra walk as if, you know, I don't care if that's what you think about me. I know who I am and what, you know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
She does
sure
walk
do.
With that authority. But not, even some of the older people don't walk with that authority.
Right.
They don't walk with it, and this is why they still walk around here pretending. This is why they're still walking around here trying to make sure they get the service. And once again, let me just reiterate this. It is nothing wrong with going to church.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand that just because you and what's so funny about it is you go to church and they'll tell you, you coming to church ain't gonna save you.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you that.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
Everything that they want you to do, they tell you, well, that's not gonna save you. Well, if that's not gonna save me, why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what we do. This is why we do it. This, if you, and again, there is no other logical reason to it other than this is what we do. And if you go back let's go about 100 years back, and church was always a meeting place.
Yeah,
right.
Your church was, if you were a slave, the few seconds that you got to go to church, that was usually just you and other slaves. And it wasn't so much that we come here to praise God. We come here just to talk about whatever, man. I mean, I can honestly have we've snuck it away to a church. We can just have conversation. They just call it a church, but to us, it's just a building where we can talk. So in other words, that whole church thing, if you go back and look at it, I mean, right from day one, it is just designed to control, man. It is, and it's a bad control. But if it was controlling you to, hey, we're going to meet here today, and guess what our mission for today is? All of us are going to leave this building right now, go find somebody and do something nice for them. Now, whatever you call nice, I'm not going to try to dictate to you what nice is. See, now, that would be a worthwhile meeting. But when you go to church.
That's correct.
You go to church, watch this, to pay expenses that are generated just so you can be there.
Mm.
The light bill, the organ, the singers, the musicians, that's got to be paid. First of all, you can pay staff
fund?
To come here. Huh?
The building fund?
That's
Remember
that, watch the building
fund. Before we get a... Before we get a pastor, we got a building fund. And what's
right,
it?
Right.
Never mind, we just spent $2 million on a brand new building. We still got a building fund. That's just some shit that come with. I'm sorry, Brother Messi. I hear you. That comes with the packaging. You know, I mean, you got all this. And again, as much money as we spend in churches, here's a thought. Why not just keep, if you're going to have a church right from the initial blueprint, why not turn your whole downstairs into bedding and sheltering for your members who can't do any better? I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
See, now you do something that make people. Now, again, I'm actually bringing you home to where you live until you get an apartment, as opposed to bringing you to church. And while I got you home, you can be relaxed, and I can minister to you all day. I mean, if that was my real intention, you know what I'm saying? So we get these big buildings, we get all this stuff, and all I want you to do really is I want you to come here and tell me how charismatic I am. Oh, watch the choir and those new robes you just paid for, and then give me money. Yeah, give me money. Because think about this, and I'm going to get right back to living with the knowledge of who you are. When is the last time anybody that's on this podcast right now went to church and somebody didn't ask you for some money at some point? I don't care if it's Catholic. And see, the Hebrews, the Jewish folks are slick. They do direct deposit right off your W-2 form. I'm not playing. What, you think I'm playing? No, I'm not. Watch this. I am not joking. I have a lot of Jewish friends, and when you move into a Jewish community and you become a part of the synagogue. Now, let me say this to you, okay? I'm not an author in any of these religions. I have friends in almost every religious sect. So now I got to put this out before I put the story out. Maybe my friends are messed up and they got it wrong, but let me give you the story as they gave it to me. They moved into this community. They were going to join the synagogue. You just don't go and join. It is like an application to a golf club. You have to fill out papers. You have to present your W-2s. They will tell you, based off your W-2s, how much you are expected to pay them. And yes, they set it up. This is why, if you look at the synagogues, when's the last time you seen like a storefront synagogue?
I've never seen.
They take up corner blocks. They've got art deco outside that probably is bigger than most Baptist churches I went to. But that's how they do that. But so I wasn't joking when I said they have the direct deposit. But think about it, though. When was the last time you went somewhere to praise God in this meeting that they call church, camp meeting, or anything else, and money was not asked of you at some point?
Sure.
It don't happen. Growing up, I used to always think, with all the money these priests are making, wouldn't it be nice if one Sunday they got ready to take the offering and the priest said, whatever you were going to put in that plate, do me a favor. Don't put it back in the bank. Just leave here and go spend that on you today.
Never.
You know what I'm saying?
And it won't happen. Yeah. Right.
Well, and that kind of assembly, that kind of meeting to me now, as I get older, more fits the definition of this thing they want to call church that Peter talked about.
Right.
That fits that definition a little bit more, because we just getting together, not to be in this church, but we just have a rally point or an assembly point that we get together, talk about what it is we're about to do, and then we just go do it. Again, that would fit a criteria or definition of church way more than anything that I see today.
It's sad, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's sad, but I know you're right. It's something that's just not... As long as
thank you, brother messenger.
Thank you, my brother messenger.
Y'all aren't funny.
Thank you, because that's what it is, and we've got to open our eyes so that we can see. Not only because our eyes are open, we've got to, and this is why I said we've got to start being about it, because it is so important. And with us being about it, it's really not to change anybody's mind from going to church, because they're just going. So what we're wanting to do is, you could, if you going to church on Sunday makes you happy, then you be happy. But just realize that that is not your communion with God. Your communion
right.
with God is when you're on your way home and somebody almost hit you and you saying, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for not allowing whatever that can come up on me. That's your communion with God. And
that's
if
right.
you notice, I said, on your way home, you wasn't even in the church building.
Right.
You don't have to be in a church building. God is everywhere.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere you go, he's there. Why?
Because we just took out a loan for the
property. He's in us. He's in us. So we're taking him everywhere
right.
we go. You're not.
That's right.
But we got the new loan. We just got the new building, Brother Pastor. How are we supposed to pay for this?
Gosh.
Here's what I do believe, though. I do believe that if you explained it to the people in that sense, it would be more rewarding. But they tried to trick you and tell you that God wants it. No, this is something that I think would be a good help to the community if we built a church. Now, we building the church, so now what we need is we need for each and every one of you to constantly contribute because of the upkeep and the maintenance of the church. That's more. That's better because that's the truth than it is, no, God requires this of you. God requires nothing from anyone. Anything that God wants, he already has. So why does he require something from me? And if it's something that he wants and he don't have, which is impossible, he can get it. And he don't need me. Who you just got finished telling me, I'm a sinner undone.
Mm.
And because
right.
I told a lie, I stink in his eyesight, huh? He hates a liar. He hates this and that. You just got finished telling me that. But then he still needs me to give him my money? And I don't mean to make it about money, but it's just the different things that they're always constantly saying that we're pissing God off with. But he still wants you to get that money. You give him that money. Now, I can't guarantee you're going to get into heaven, but at least he might spare you.
Hey, say, if you give me that money, you might not get to heaven, but your pockets will be so light, I can get you up a little higher. I'm just having no fun with the medicines, man. I can get you a little higher. I can elevate you a little higher.
Yeah,
what it
I
is,
can
it,
do
you.
That.
It used to be about control. I think a religion and all of its organized factions came in as a control mechanism until we really began to appreciate money and riches. Now it is way more about money than it's ever going to be about anything else. It is.
Yes.
And it's sad. And everybody, how can you miss that? Now, again, the fact that you see it and you understand it, but you still want to be a part of it, I have more love for that person. You know what I said. It's just like when we used to go see WWE, the wrestling. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bust anybody's bubbles, but I hope we're all adults. I'm just saying. But when I found out that, in fact, we didn't even call it wrestling. It was wrestling then. When I found out that wrestling wasn't real, I was a little hurt. I was a little hurt. But you know
really?
What? After I, yes, but now that I know it's not real, I still go and I still appreciate it because now I understand what it is I'm doing and I'm making a conscious decision to accept it as a form of entertainment as opposed to an exhibition of strength and skill.
Right, right.
But again, as long as I know what it really is, then I can make a choice on what I want to do with it. And I bring that
right
back to this whole religion thing. No, folks, this is some stuff that I want y'all to do. This is how we should start doing recruiting or looking for new members. Hey, listen, my name is a co-producer. I'm going to start a church. Now, listen, I'm going to need y'all to pay for everything in there and I need you to pay me. Now, here's the benefit. Oh, yeah, here's the benefit of what we're going to do. I'm a great storyteller. Oh, I'm going to tell you some stories. I'm going to tell you some stories. We're going to meet. Yeah, we're going to laugh and joke. And listen. No, but here we go. But that's what it should be because that's what we do.
That's what is going on.
Watch it. Yeah, and by the way, you kind of already got your – I'm going to tell you a story about your name being written in the Book of Life at some point.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also talk with you about the Great White Throne Judgment, which is going to be the last opportunity for Christ to look at you and make a decision if you coming or going. But let me tell you the truth up front. It's just to show everybody because you're already going to heaven. But I need you – don't hold on to that right now. You know, put that inside deep. You're already going to go to heaven. But for right now, let's act as if we have a say-so in how we spend eternity. That's my broadcast message as I recruit new members.
Ooh, church ain't nothing but a concert for old people.
Mm.
Well, I was a little lad, and I used to have fun in church, man. The church was the spot.
Yeah, you had fun. Yeah, you had fun because you wasn't paying attention to a word they were talking about. That other stuff, you was doing all kind of other stuff. I was there with you.
I know. All right. But anyway, the Lord said, hold on. You know what? I'm sorry, but I got to address this for a second. Remember we used to go to church in Newark, and we used to go to our cousins, and we get with the butlers, and they in there having church, and we out back learning how to flip on doing somersaults on their mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's the fun you're talking about.
When we went to church on Sundays, again, and we always had to go, so that was never an option. But we went, again, for us, that was straight hangout time. We got to go to Newark. We hung out within the West Kenny Projects. You know, so we got to go to Brick City. We hung out for 2-3 hours. Then we came home. So growing up, even though we were always there, something inside us told us it ain't really important that you get involved in what's going on in there.
Something is telling other folks that too, but they have created so much fear amongst the people that they're afraid. They're afraid because I'll tell you, my nephew, we were talking about this, and he told me, you know, Unc, I'm with you 100%, but just in case, I want to hold on, just in case, because of the fear that they placed in it. Just in case.
Because there's nothing wrong with holding on. Because, again, by holding on, welcome back, nurse. By holding on, you don't lose anything. You don't lose. But, again, so, you know, by you going to church, by you giving that pastor all your money, by you sitting there crying and asking God for stuff that he's already given you, you don't lose anything on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If you got that kind of money to give away, so you give it away to the church. I mean, as long as you know it ain't really going to be used for a real good. let me rephrase that. As long as you know that you just gave your money away, if you got that money to give away, give it away. So by going to church, there's no downside to it, except for you're just being fooled to try to believe some stuff that just ain't true. But there's no downside in fellowshipping. There's no downside in giving 10% of your wages to a ministry or to a show, a carnival, a circus. Call it what you want. But all I'm trying to say to people, and I really want people to understand, is you don't need all that. And if you really have that to give, you find in your heart how you want to give it. If you want to give it to that building that's better than the home you live in, give it to it. Or if you want to give it to some folks down in the Bowery who can't eat every day, and every day you come down there with two styrofoam plates, I'm sorry, you come down there with two helpings of dinner, styrofoam covered places, what I was trying to get out, and you feed two people. Again, if that's what your heart puts on you, then go with that. It's not necessary, I'm saying, to be conditioned to go to one place. That's
right.
That's what my message is. And again, if I can get you to think about, I don't have to go to church all the time or anytime, maybe, and again, it don't mean that you can go do other. But yes, it does mean that. It means you go do whatever you want to do.
That's just what
it means.
It's
whatever you want to do.
You. That's right.
So that's my message to you people. Let's get real.
If folks would allow the inner them to guide them, and once again, he is ordering your steps. So if you would be obedient to that voice that within you, there will be times that you wouldn't go. There'd be times that you might go, but you going is going to be a purpose because all things is working together for the good. But you won't feel compelled. And right now, 95% of Christians feel, not Christians, 95% of most religions feel compelled to be there. Because if they miss that one Sunday, that might be the day that they're called home and they don't want to be outside the ark of the church when that time comes.
I did good my whole life, but on that moment when I'm getting ready to get raptured, if I don't find myself in church when I should have been in church, people questioning everything they've done. Well, I got an answer for the question. I say, it doesn't matter what you do. It really don't. The Father is coming back for his spirit that you hold for him, or for the spirit that you hold for that deity. And he allows us to enjoy different sensations while we are in this physical body. But when it's all said and done, yeah, he going to come down and say, let me get that right there back from you. Let me get that back from you. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Just one little correction on that. He ain't coming down. He already is. He just said, let me move on. But I understand what you're saying. But he ain't coming down because he already here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you getting up out of there. You the one who getting up out of there. It's time for me to get back to where I need to be. Because dealing in this body and dealing with these folks that don't want to listen, because that's the soul. The soul is what's trying to talk to us. The soul is the part of us that is God. And when you listen to that, you cannot go wrong. And we have to understand that this body is just a temple housing the soul and the spirit of God. But we can't get to that level because we think we look in the mirror and we look at this with our reflection in the mirror and we honestly think that that is us, even though throughout the scriptures of the Bible, it tells you that you're nothing but dirt. So how could I be so high-minded of who I am when I'm looking at the physical when it's telling me it's nothing but dirt? Is there anything lower than dirt?
No.
But why do we see the body and be so high-minded of the body and not be concerned about the spirit and the soul within us?
Because I can't see that.
That's what we need to. But we can feel it.
Yeah,
you
but
know
I
mean?
Can
and we
feel
can
it.
Feel it as...
Go ahead, bro.
So we can feel it, and I understand the feeling ain't the same as seeing for us, okay? But let's take a look at the brother Stevie Wonder. He can't see it, but he can feel it, and he can still live. And because he can feel it, look at what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tendency sometimes to look at the blind and feel sorry for them. It's not necessary. All things are working together for the good. So to some degree, that blindness has helped him advance even further. Because a lot of the stuff that we're looking at that is distracting us, it's not distracting him. Now, of course, he probably got some other things that's distracting him. Him and Ray Charles had some other things that was distracting him. I ain't mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you understand. But you understand the point. The point is, it is not about this outside body.
Right.
It is just the temple that carries around the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But we say it, but we don't believe it, because then that makes us think that this is why all of a sudden I got to be an apostle, I got to be a bishop. And
well, again,
it's just not so.
Yeah, those titles, you know what those titles mean, right?
Well, same thing they mean on the job.
Yep, that's just what it means.
Same thing they mean on the job.
If the pastor is at your church and we got one sermon, okay, just a quick thing on these titles. If the pastor delivers that sermon, we give the pastor $100. What is higher, an archbishop or a cardinal?
Cardinal, isn't he?
I don't know. Okay, so if the archbishop gives that same talk the pastor just gave, you gave the pastor $100 because it's the archbishop, we're going to give him $500. And if a cardinal came and gave that exact same speech, he may get $1,000. So I learned early in life, and that's so real, this is what comes with titles when we start talking about that organized religion. When you invite people to your church to speak, depending on the title they have or given themselves or foolishly earned, that title has a price tag that starts the negotiation on if they're coming to speak at your church or not. Because you do know that none of that just happens. That's not free. We are here serving God, but I'll bet you any amount of money, if T.D. Jakes called Rod Parsley to come down to the Potter's house, T.D. Jakes already know we're going to start with about $15,000.
That's correct. That's money. For me to come, that's right.
And it's not just me. I got an entourage that go with me, man. And you got to take care of them also. Now, God forbid if I've got to fly to you. And again, this is the racket. And when I say racket, they call it love offers they're giving each other for helping each other out. But I'll tell you what. Let me invite you to my church, right? And you come and watch this. Let's just say... through whatever procedures that you save 1,000 people. So 1,000 people got saved, holy sanctified while you were there. But when you get ready to leave, if I don't slide you that envelope, it's not going to be a nice exit. It's not going to be a nice exit. So what did we really come here for? Did we come here to spread that nonsense that we say we believe in? Or did we come here because this is a job for us? And I say it's a job for us. Because nobody does that for free. And if it was real, you could do that for free. They have this one brother, anybody heard of Benny Hinn?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, this joker right here, when he come to your church, I mean, that's at least like 50, 60 people going to get healed. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like... I'm not playing. I'm so serious. First of all, somebody like Benny Hinn, he only go to Coliseums. Listen, I'm going to get off the racket because it is such a racket. And when you start giving titles and all the rest of this stuff, again, it just further convolutes the message that you need to be with somebody. You need to be... like a sheep, you need a shepherd to guide you so that, who guided you? You know, hey, Mr. Shepherd, who taught you how to take care of the sheep? And why can't I do what you do? And why can't he do what you do? I don't need you to tell me what I can already read. I mean, you know, again, at least pastors, why don't you make it interesting? Some Sunday just say, God sent me a manuscript, and you don't have this. You don't have this. He sent me personal stuff that I should tell you. But every Sunday, you tell me what God has already, as per your version, sent me in this book. Now think about how simple that can be. You read the book, I read the book. But because I'm charismatic, I know how to hump that story up and make you fully feel that story now. But it's the same story. Hey, folks, stop letting yourself...
Exact same story.
Yeah, stop letting yourself fall for that. Now, again, it's all about what it is that you really want out of life. Do you really want to live with the knowledge of who you really are? Or are you complacent? Or are you happy? Even though it might be wrong the way you live, if it's not causing you heartaches and pains, sometimes we just say, you know what? I'll leave it as it is. And I guess I understand that. I'm just not going to leave it as it is. Again, I think that when you come into... Go ahead, bro.
I'm sorry. The Baptists got this thing with their preachers. Part of their teaching is when you speak, and when you preach, you always got to bring it back to the cross. Now, when you can preach a sermon letting people know that God is in you and that the works that you can do, but you always got to bring it back to the cross. So you just told me that God is in me, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You just told me that. But then you turn around and tell me, if I don't get on my knees and ask for forgiveness, I can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of God is it that we serve that he sounds like a bully? He want to take our money. He want us on our knees. He want us crying all the time. And that's our way of being happy. That's the God that we serve?
Mm-mm. No.
I would say not.
Not that.
And God does not need us to serve him. We're not here to serve him.
See, in that basic premise, again, as I study and read more, it's just so silly to me now. In other words, if we listen to folks, I mean, and again, if God made all of this, angels, people, just so that they could all serve him or serve the name of God, doesn't that sound real egotistical? I'm just saying, as we understand the word. But again, I'm so powerful that I'm going to put together something all this was put together just so I could hear trillions and billions of people just praising and calling on me and asking me for shit, man. I mean, is that what this is all about?
And those of you that don't do it, I'm going to send you to a fiery pit.
Yeah. I said, here we go, real quick. I made you. I'm God now. Don't forget that, please. I made you to worship me. But if you don't, I got a plan B for you. So before I go into production, I already understand that everything that's about to come out of this laboratory is not going to be what I want. But I'm God. But I'm still the man, though. You know, I said, I adorn the stars. I adorn the skies with stars. I have the sun and moon rotating on an interval that can never be duplicated by no matter what kind of mathematical algorithms you put together. But I understand that I'm going to make some things that I'm not going to be happy with. So I got a plan B for them. Come on, people. Let's wake up. Hey, but listen, it comes that time of the evening when, you know, now it's time for us to say goodbye to all our friends. here we go. Thank you for
M-I-C.
Thank you, K-E-Y.
All right.
But no, we appreciate you for joining the messenger tonight. Again, as we get more and more in tune with the spirit, again, these podcasts on Messenger Podcasts, again, are conversations. You can equate it to you driving to some building to hear the pastor preach, because that's what you get when we listen to Messenger Rondaya. I believe the word and the understanding that he shares with us, again, it's never, ever, ever about let's get together. Let's get together to make the messenger bigger than what he is. That's never the message. The message is always simply you have all that you need, all you except for you just have to want it. But don't look. Stop. We're like walking around in the daytime with a flashlight looking for something that we already have. Hey, everybody, stay blessed.
That's right.
Let's stay blessed. And again, tomorrow, Sunday night, I'm sure we'll have another jam-packed show for you. Again, take the podcast to work with you. Take it on the job. Take it to your church and, you know, put your earphones in and listen to a real message while you sit there in the congregation. But again, share this message, because it's a godly message. And the message is simply, not only does God love you, God is you. Hey, brother. All right. Are we good?
There's no more for me to say, my brother. You did an excellent job. This is what happens when you allow God to use you. And the same way he uses you, he can use each and every one of us. I thank you, man. It was enlightening for my soul to hear you speak like you did today. Thank you very much, my brother.
All right. Hey, peace out, everybody.
Hey, good night. First Lady as well, please. Hey,
all
bro,
right, cool.
First Lady all right. as well, please. All right?
Yes. Right.
So that means when I come to New Jersey, maybe some hot old spirituella with some chuleta.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody, have a nice
day. Bless you all.
Good night, Sister Perk.
You too.
Good night. Good night,
Alex. Good night, everyone.
Right.
Enjoy the reunion.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the blessing.
Okay.
And just remember, at the reunion, if they run out of wine, don't forget the first miracle. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
As if we'd run out of wine.